Nice.
Hello.
You did quite hold on.
What, I was loud?
You were loud, but it's okay.
I don't know if my headphones are that loud.
I'll turn you up in a second.
Turn my levels up.
Turn my levels up. Okay, I turned you up.
Where's my snare?
Okay. Is that loud enough?
Welcome.
Is that loud?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Welcome to episode 28 of the Not All Here podcast. It's your boy EZL.
I am JRB, the producer. On all the platforms.
All the platforms. Easy on all the platforms.
All of them.
Man, I'm not gonna lie to you, this whole week has been feeling like, what a week. Matter of fact, let me actually tell you something.
Oh, yeah?
I was gonna tell you something before the podcast, but you said to save it.
Oh. So we start out with the story of you attacking elderly people.
Yep.
Dang, bro.
And so
is this your not all here moment?
No. Because I was here. I was in the moment. I knew what I was doing.
So you were here. She wasn't all
there. She wasn't all there. There it is. Gosh. This is a woman's not all here. But real quick, it was this older woman, and she was like, I want to say in her 70s or something like that. I could be wrong. Might have been her late 60s, early 70s. But what's it called? Hold on.
I got it.
Okay. But basically, this woman. I be doing Instacart from time to time. Mm-hmm. And so for those who don't know, Instacart is basically grocery delivery / just going to stores to buy things for people, delivery service, right? Mm. And so sometimes I'll be doing it just to make a little few extra bucks. And so I went to a Publix, right? Mm-hmm. And I was at this Publix and I was shopping. So most of the time I've been doing it for so long that I kind of know where everything's at in a grocery store. I kind of know how they're kind of built or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's how long I've been doing it. And so in the app, we have these things that tell you, hey, go to this aisle, this aisle, this aisle, this aisle. And you get everything. And your whole thing is you want to do it as quick as possible. So that way it you're able to get just more orders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to this was like the end of the day. This was like my last one. So I went to this store and I was going through the aisles, and then this lady was just slowly, leisurely walking. That's hilarious. Hold on 1 second.
The puppy's trying to knock over our camera.
Thank you. And so she was in the aisles, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this thing where I'm bobbing and weaving. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, let me go here. Let me get around you. And I was doing that, and I think it threw her off because I'm literally doing that, and I'm moving, and I'm like trying to go around her and do all these things just because I'm going. Bro, she looks at me, and she goes, is something wrong with you? She literally said that, and I immediately was like, huh? I was like, no, ain't nothing wrong with me. She's like, well, why are you moving, like, why are you doing this? I was like, I'm trying to get around you. And she's like, can you give me a second? And immediately I was about to be like, bitch, I'm about to whoop you. No, but I was like, hold up, excuse me. And so then what I did was I was like, you know what, let me wait. So I waited, and she slowly like took like 5 steps and moved over, and she's like, you can go now. And I was like, oh, I can go now? Now I can go?
Look, sounds like you have a problem with respecting your elders, bro.
Some elders need to be disrespected.
Leave that old lady alone, man.
No,
she was trying to get her peanut butter.
No, what happened was she didn't realize her time is gone.
Oh, damn.
It's out with the old, in with the new.
Dang,
that's just
bro.
How life works. That's the life cycle. No, but I did get mad at her. But I thought about my mom, and I was like, you know what? My mom would probably, if I talk bad to this woman, my mom would probably be upset at me. So I was like, I just kept my composure, and I was like, all right, whatever.
Slow down. Smell the produce.
Enjoy life. You're going to be 80 soon.
You see what I did there? Smell the produce.
Smell the produce. Smell the prunes. No, but I just dipped out, and I was out of there. But I'm going to lie, I was a little upset. I was like, I was thinking, do you ever do this thing sometimes where somebody pisses you off, and sometimes you think of like a scenario like, oh, what if I did this instead?
Yeah, my brain will have conversations after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had that.
I had that for a little bit. And then I was thinking of like comebacks and stuff I could have said to be like, oh, looks like the Grim Reaper's knocking on your door.
Dude. Leave that old lady alone, man.
It is what it is. But like my whole thing is, if you know, don't disrespect me. And then, because if you disrespect me, I'm going to have to disrespect you. And it's going to be a lot worse when it comes back, you know, from me to you.
You must have walked by this lady many times.
Only twice. Oh. That was the only time. Because she was actually, I was going through the aisle, and she was on the outside of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying to just move around her, and she got upset because I was like too fast. I think what it was is she's upset that everybody else wasn't moving at her speed.
I had a situation where recently where someone, I was the slow person and somebody got really pissed off at me. I was putting money in the bank. I was at the ATM. So I put, it was actually like a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
And they only allow you to do it like 30 bills at a time.
Of course.
So after I put in the first, the car behind me started honked.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, damn, I got a bunch more to go. So I put more in and then like it spit it out because one of the bills was full. And then, dude, they laid on their horn and I just looked back at them. I just went like this. I went, I don't know.
Oh, you just, it was like an awkward situation. You're like, I have to do this.
And then she started yelling at me and she gave me the middle finger.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm putting money in the bank. And she's like, go the fuck inside. Do this inside.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I probably would have flipped her off and I would have went off on her too.
No, I wanted to, but
I feel you. Yeah. It's just like there's a part of me, like I said, like for example, the woman that was in the grocery store, like with her, it's just she made me think of my mama. And then, you know, I was like, well, you know. But then I started to think, I actually thought about that. I was like, what would my mom do? And I'm not gonna lie, my mom probably would have disrespected her.
Oh gosh.
She would have been like, bitch, excuse me. And she would have, like, because my mom has a thing where she don't take BS. And she's just like, hold up. I didn't do nothing to you. I'm just moving around you. There's enough space. And blah, 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 blah. But it was funny after the fact because I was just, like I said, thinking of all these funny comebacks to tell her. And then I started to imagine. I'd be like, it'd be funny if I would have said that. And then, like, she would have went home, you know, and, like, if her husband or whoever, she would have been like, can you... This motherfucker, this young guy, this kid, because to me, she probably thought I was like just this young whatever, just like having no, what is it? No, not worries, but I didn't give a fuck about anything.
Right.
And I'm just moving so fast. And I was like, ma'am, I'm working right now. But random moment, it had me laughing.
I'm on the old lady side.
Hey. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. All I knew was for her. I was just like, hey, tick, 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 tick.
Dang.
Yep. Hey, it is what it is. I don't do nothing to nobody. But anyway, yeah, man, today, this week, this whole week has been like what feels like a lot of shit has been happening.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. Well, wanted to touch on, or did you have something you want to touch on?
Well, we could talk about the gas stuff. You want to talk about that?
Oh, man. You know what's funny is? Yeah, let's talk about the gas stuff, the gas shortage. So basically what happened was it was a cyber attack, right?
So it was a cyber attack. Actually, a Russian-affiliated hacking group named DarkSid.
That's funny.
Sounds like something from a comic book.
That's actually the name of a comic book character.
DarkSid?
In DC. Pretty dope, but that's funny.
Russian hacking group. So basically, they locked up the computer systems, and they asked for millions of dollars to give back over control to the company.
Wow. Side note real quick. Do you ever notice that, like, these groups always have... you never hear, like, a cyber tech group that's just called, hey, we're the cyber killers. They have these very like outlandish, like DarkSid.
What should they be named?
I don't know. It's just funny. I feel like average guys, the average Joes, the Care Bears. We're the Cyber Bears. No, but so they wanted, how much was it?
Millions. I'm not sure the exact number.
And then now on the day that we're recording this, like they said, supposedly they, I guess the company got control back or whatever.
Yeah, the pipeline is back flowing. I think it's interesting. Like, you know, I know we live in a technological. That's not the word.
Technological.
That's the word.
Technological.
Yes. Yeah. World. But it's funny, like. You're telling me oil and gas can't flow without computers now? Like, how did this flow before the internet?
I know how it did. It was just a...
Popeye just turned a wheel.
Yeah.
He ate some spinach and turned a wheel.
Yeah.
Because when I was working different jobs, we'd even have scenarios for when the power goes out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people can still buy stuff. You got to take their card and boom. So you're telling me that stuff can't flow without a... computer?
Like,
I don't know.
It's somebody couldn't manually override it or something to still keep it running?
I don't know.
I think maybe that could be something where it's like, you know how sometimes people, like for all the advancement, sometimes we don't think of a plan B or anything? Where like, see, the reason why they do it, because it makes it easier for like to have, I guess, control over it at like a control center.
Yeah.
But then when they don't have an out, if something were to happen, then they're like, oh, shit, we're stuck. You know what I mean?
But I do think it's interesting how some random group of people can hold control over like a large portion of the country in a certain way. Because it's like, this was the largest, this is literally like the largest pipeline in America. Yes. It's throughout the entire East Coast. And I don't know if, well, I guess places out here in Atlanta did start running out. I talked to my people back in South Carolina. It was either day before or yesterday where places in South Carolina were running out of gas.
Really?
Like people were panicking and, you know, just buying it all up.
And you know, it's funny. I think everything would have been fine had people not panic bought gas. I think if they only got what they needed, you know, and it's not like, because some people, there were some photos I saw on Twitter. We talked about this a little bit before. Because you saw, I saw a video. It was at a Kroger, because that's like, so it was trending for me, where it was like, you know, gas shortage, and then right below it was like Kroger. And I was like, click on it. I was like, what's going on? And it was in Atlanta. And there was this lady who, she was buying, like, she, I think she filled up her car, but then she was like, oh, I need more, like, just in case. And she started pouring the gas in a grocery bag. And it was so funny, because at first I was like, there's no way this is going to hold. And then she actually picked it up, and but it was like moving very, you know, liquidy or whatever. And then she was like, oh, to be safe, I better put another bag like under it.
So imagine this woman trying to transfer the gas from a trash bag into her car. Just, like, just picture how
it. I don't even know. Like, I imagine like, in my head, the video stops like where it's her. She's trying to put the, it's, I kid you not, she's trying to put the gas, I think, in her trunk. And I'm thinking, I'm like, as soon as it, that car started going, that's it. Like, it's done.
Well, I saw another thing where a guy in a Hummer, he put a bunch of gas in his Hummer. I don't know if it was trash bags or what, but then he lit a cigarette in his car and the car kind of exploded. It caught on fire.
Was he still alive?
Mm-hmm, he's alive.
Bruh.
But the Hummer's done.
Why do people think, I just don't get like why people, it's kind of funny when people panic like this, because it almost kind of shows you that it's never good to do stuff. Have you ever heard the phrase to never make a decision when you when there's emotion involved? So you always have to like think things through. And I think these photos and videos were great examples of like what happened when people are like, they're panicking, and so there's this distress, and they're like, sure, I'm going to use this bowl to put the gas in, and I'm going to hold the bowl all the way home.
It's kind of like a hoarder mentality, too. I saw, this is semi-unrelated, but I saw on Reddit that South Carolina has the highest number of hoarders in the country.
And
people in the comments were talking about it, and you can really see that. When you drive through South Carolina, you'll drive by all these houses and mobile homes that are just like overflowing with stuff.
Wow.
And you see all this, you know, just trash and cars and just tons of things outside that's just like overflowing from the house.
I wonder what like causes that. Like, is it like, I never have like dove into it. I've seen like shows about it and stuff. And I wonder what makes a person feel like, oh, I can't let this go.
I don't know. I'm a hoarder a little bit. I'm trying to get better.
I could see that a little bit.
Because you were throwing out stuff and I was just like, no, don't throw that out. I'll take it.
I was like, Jay, you got to let some of this shit go. I'm over here trying to rip the Band-Aid off. You're like, wait. No, hold on. I need this Band-Aid. It's got history.
I don't know, man.
I feel you. I mean, it makes sense. Because I feel like maybe, I think what it is, maybe some people sometimes feel like it has some sort of sentimental value or something, you know? When, to me, I feel like the value comes in, like, if it's associated with memory, it's really more so the memory. But I guess some people don't, they don't know how to let go of things, which that's in, that's like a whole thing. I don't know. Yeah. That's above my pay grade to understand that. But
all right. I got a segment.
Uh-oh.
We're moving from that right into the conspiracy conspiracy conversation. So,
oh boy.
I'm going to start this out by saying, just because I'm saying these things doesn't mean I believe them.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying that I went down a rabbit hole and I found some things that people are saying
about what's going on,
which you could believe or not believe.
You know, this is, I think conspiracy theories are actually, they sound pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of them do.
And I enjoy
they sound
them.
Real interesting. I enjoy them. I'm also, some people treat them as like, this is a 100.
Gospel.
Yeah. And some people, I'm like, whereas me, I'm just like, oh, this is pretty fun. It makes me think of comic books or something.
You're familiar with X-Files?
Yeah.
I think I might have already said this before, but I'm like Mulder. I want to believe, But there's half of me that's like Mulder and half of me is like Scully. And Scully just doesn't believe.
And Mulder's like, no, like it's...
It's real.
Exactly.
And Scully's just like, I don't know. Like,
Mulder,
I've seen aliens 10 times, but I still don't believe. But anyway, all right. Do you remember a time in history, not long ago, where CEOs were stepping down in record numbers?
On record?
So there was a time in 2019, the largest number of CEOs ever in around the world stepped down in history. And people were trying to figure out, you know, what's going on? Why are all these CEOs stepping down? So this happened in 2019. Mm-hmm. Then in January 2020, even another like 200 CEOs, and these are like major companies like Disney, and everybody stepped down. And this was prior to COVID and shit hitting the fan. So in 2019, biggest numbers ever since like 2002, but it was still the biggest number ever. There was even a financial crash around 2008, and that number didn't even come close to 2019. Now 2019 stock market was going like this, but when COVID hit in really hit in March, stock market went like this,
dipped.
So I don't really believe in the Illuminati, right? I don't think that's a thing. But I do believe that people in power and rich people have powerful friends, right?
Of course.
So maybe word gets around, you know, this shit's going down. And if you want to get out, right now is an opportune time to get out. COVID was, I think it hit in November, the first news of it, you know, existing. And then shit didn't hit the fan until, you know, January, February, March. And March is when the stock market really plummeted. So that's just kind of an interesting thing that people are kind of looking back on. Like, yo, a record number of people stepped down in 2019 before shit hit the fan. Now, the reason people are talking about this now is kind of interesting as well. And again, I don't know if any of this is true. Right. Who knows? But have you seen people talking about Bill Gates' divorce and Jeff Bezos' divorce?
I've heard people talking about, of course, Bill Gates and now Melinda Gates or his ex-wife or whatever. I haven't seen them compared, but what they've been saying.
So these are the two richest people on the planet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they're both getting divorced.
Yeah.
Around the same time, around a similar time.
Oh, so whenever Jeff Bezos was getting divorced now. Or is he getting divorced again?
He's getting divorced. Well, I mean, the news from Bezos came out like not too long ago. Gates news happened like recently, like last week or something like that. They were both this year, I believe. So people are like, you know, is this a coincidence? You know what I mean? And there's conspiracy theorists that are like, yo, there's actually a reason for this.
Okay, what's the reason?
Okay. So let's say you knew a crash was coming, right? Let's say some big shit was about to happen. Bill Gates would probably step down. And Bezos, actually, he just stepped down from Amazon.
Yeah, I remember that.
So one thing you might want to do is sell all your stock. If you know shit's about to hit the fan, shit's about to tank, you want to sell your stock. So, but if you own a giant amount of Microsoft stock, if you sell all of your stock, it's actually going to tank the value of the company and tank,
you have so much.
Tank the stock. And it even semi-tank the stock market if people think things are coming. So one thing you can do, a workaround, is a divorce.
What?
Because during a divorce, you can liquidate your assets in order for the assets to be divided amongst you and your partner. So this is a weird way to not cause market panic and not tank the stock market. And people are like, the two richest guys in the world are both doing this right now. Is there something impending, you know, coming along down the road that people are you know, worrying about and wondering about? And then also people are piling on with Tesla now. Tesla stopped accepting Bitcoin, right? Due to environmental reasons. And people are looking at Elon Musk like, yo, like, you knew it was bad for the environment when you started accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I saw this thing where it's like Bitcoin causes 2% of energy consumption. I I might have this wrong, but I think it causes like 2% of energy consumption on Earth, Bitcoin mining.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
And I've even saw people say that that 2% could be like the thing that pushes over, you know, unstoppable climate change,
oh,
right?
Oh, okay.
But let's say that he's also aware that a stock market crash is coming. If he's accepting Bitcoin, say Bitcoin's at 60 grand, you could buy a Tesla for like one Bitcoin or maybe a little bit more than one Bitcoin. But if shit hits the fan, if it loses like 75 to 80% of its worth, you just bought a Tesla for like 80% off. So if you know shit's about to crash, you might be like, well, wait a minute.
Let's
stop accepting that.
That's wild. But yeah, that's interesting the way that you put it, because then it you start to look at it. Wait a second, is this like a bigger plan going on?
Don't know if any of those things are connected at all, but there's conspiracy guys on the internet that think a giant crash is coming, and the stock market has been on a steady decline, and people are thinking a big crash is imminent.
It's funny because, like, I think, man, I don't know if like if. I know I've heard this a lot, like randomly at times, whether it be through people that I know or just like on the internet, and people saying, I don't know, it's been like a few years where I've been hearing people like, hey, there's going to be another crash, like it's coming, like it's only a matter of time before it actually happens, and like I think, you know, for the most part, people are like, hey, the way things are going right now, the bubble, like it's a bubble and it's about to pop, and you got to be ready, like it's about to come up, and so. It's very interesting because, yeah, when you put it that way with like what's going on, because like I remember, like I said, whenever Bill Gates and his ex-wife now, Melinda Gates, was like, hey, we're getting divorced. I was like, oh, shit, that's wild. And then I can only imagine like the amount of money that they both have and that he has as well. Like, what the fuck? It's a lot of money. It reminded me of Jeff Bezos, of how like I think with his first marriage, he didn't have a prenup, I think. And so. His ex-wife, his first wife, got like what, a few million, if not a billion, I think, or something like that. But he made it all back within like a year.
All right, but I'm gonna take it a step further. Uh-oh. And jump off the conspiracy cliff.
Oh boy,
you ready?
Taking the red pill? Is it the red pill?
Yeah. No, not that. That's I actually just learned that's like a weird new terminology.
Red pill?
Yeah. Do you know this is like a weird dating thing now?
What? No.
Like guys, it's this whole. Pickup gang, like
pickup gang
guys that
they're like pickup artists,
like pegging, like that kind of. Is that the term? Is that not the right term?
I don't know if it's pegging, because I know about pegging. I know about it, but I don't think it's what you think it is.
Okay, that's not the right term. I need to Google that. But yeah, like pickup artists. That's like taking the red pill, and it's not a very good environment.
So, like, when you say pickup artist, are you talking about, like, a dude who's, like trying to holler at some chicks, or what are you talking
trying
about?
Trying to get as many women as possible.
So, like a...
That's the red pill. I did not know that. There's a sub-forum on Reddit of...
called Red Pill?
The Red Pill, and it's just recently
got banned.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, for real. Mm-hmm. So were people on there just talking about like, I guess, all the people they laid with or like,
and then giving, you know, advice. It's basically guys looking for advice on
how to manipulate and like take advantage. Manipulative shit. Okay.
That's like a new popular thing. I did not know that. But
I was
anyway,
thinking about the Matrix.
But anyway, taking it off the conspiracy theory ledge, right? Taking it a whole different level. People are saying,
oh boy,
people, I'm not backing this up.
Oh no.
But
okay.
The Pentagon has been releasing a lot of alien footage.
Ooh, I had a feeling you were going to go this way, but okay, keep going.
And, the timing, people are like, okay, they've had this for years. It's always been a thing. What's up with the timing? So they've been releasing it, and they have a lot more to release. And people are like, okay, why? What's going on?
Yeah. Like, why now of all times?
Yeah. And
they think there's going to be an alien invasion.
I don't know. Stock market's going to crash, though.
I could see
so
that.
So the money people are trying to get out before panic hits and before, you know.
Man.
Before Zordon comes down.
Zordon.
It Glarg and Spoof come down and say hello to.
Glarg and Spoof.
Before they come say hello to the planet Earth.
Oh my God. You know, I feel like Of course. Now, it's funny that you mentioned aliens because I was listening to a podcast recently. It was actually Joe Rogan, and he was talking to an ex, I think, CIA or someone who was in the government. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm sorry, not CIA. He was like, or I think he might have worked with, and he moved up in different divisions. He worked with whatever. But he actually was in that department where they were talking about UFOs, and they had all that evidence. Mm-hmm. And he, and like Joe asked a real question. He asked kind of like a question that you were asking. He was like, why now? Like, of all times, like, why?
What did he say?
He was, the guy was just like, I think something happened where the reason why back in the day they denied a lot of UFO sightings was because I think other countries were trying to use it as a way to demoralize, like, the people. It was like some war or whatever. They're like, we have to deny this because it's going to demoralize. It's going to affect the, not necessarily mentality, but the confidence of the country or something like that. And so they denied it for reasons to sort of like not get people like down and be like, oh shit, and panic, and not cause panic in a certain, in the country. That's the reason. That's what he was saying, that the reason why they denied UFO sightings. And then something else happened.
The government denied it.
Yeah, the government. They would have been like, he said that they had actually hired people to be like, hey, this is your job. You need to disprove every single one of these things. Oh. And so he would make up stuff like that would sound right to disprove them, so people would be like, yeah, this is fake. Of course it's fake. Mm-hmm. To sort of, people be like, that's not real. But they did it at a time because there was like the big, there was like what back in the day was like Russia, or excuse me, the USSR, like the Soviet Union and all this stuff going on, a lot of crazy stuff. And he was saying that back in the day, were denying so much that way people wouldn't go in mass hysteria and panic.
So that's why they were withholding the information back in the day.
Yeah.
But why are they now currently releasing it?
I think he had said something to the effect of now they there's something that happened where something got out, and then they kind of felt like people were like, well, there's nothing big going on, like a big war or anything. And they're like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I think something else, they felt like more important things were going on. Mm. And so they didn't feel the need to deny anymore. And so they were like, whoever's over the department, he was saying that it just got to a certain point where people were like, okay, yeah, we're okay if this is real. Mm. And he kind of felt like the overall opinion of it was like people were like, they could grasp it better.
So that's the viewpoint of the U.S. government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, which makes sense. I could see why. It's like, I mean, you got to think about it. Like, if you were like the president or something, you had all this info, you would think like, well, if I don't want people to be fucking rioting and panicking in the streets, you have to sort of like move a certain way. So that way people kind of feel safe and feel, you know, feel like, yeah, we're fine. You know, cause like, it's like, it brings the whole idea of like, there's a lot of things that I think that people can't, it's not that they can't, but they have a hard time like fathoming certain things. Mm-hmm. Certain ideas are just, crazy. It's like, I'm trying to think of an example. Have you ever heard, like, have you ever talked to somebody and like you, introduce them to a certain, maybe not religious idea, but just some sort of like spiritual idea. And they're like, that's wow. That's like crazy. Like they just can't fathom it. They're like, or they're in so much disbelief that it's hard for them to sort of like either accept or they sort of outright reject it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like how the government views things. And they're like, let's keep things simple because we just want people to be like, you know, we want things to run a certain way. And so that's what the guy was saying. Hmm. Now, I think aliens are real, but I really think that it's going to be underwhelming.
I don't know, man. Glarg and Spoof are going to come down here. It's going to be wild. I would like to say, we didn't say this from the start. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on Thursday. So yep, if anything crazy happens between now and Sunday,
the aliens hit Earth, then, you know, hey.
I mean, I told you first, Bill Gates and Bezos, they know the shit's coming.
That's,
you know,
hilarious. I mean? I want to touch on the perfect example about the people can't fathom. Mm-hmm. It's like whenever new generations start to come up and the old generations are like, why the fuck are these kids so wild?
Why is this guy going so fast in the damn supermarket? The hell is wrong with this man?
People sometimes have a hard time accepting change and the stuff. She was like, why doesn't he just take his time and look at the bananas more? Like, why doesn't he look at the apples? I'm like, you know, but going on to that whole topic. But you said you got more?
Oh, yeah. So moving on from conspiracies, man, I got a new segment.
Oh.
Called Rap Rumors.
Rap Rumors? Gossip.
Rumors about rappers.
Beep, beep, beep. Ayo.
Ayo. All right. NBA Youngboy turns down $1 million to do a feature with Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Ooh.
It's a lot of money. Possibly the biggest paid feature of all time.
You think so?
I don't know. I Googled it before I came in here.
Oh, to see if there's other?
There's no solid info. Supposedly, Drake charges $1 million for a feature, but nobody knows. Mm. But Tekashi supposedly offered him $1 million, and he said no.
Can you imagine, like, that'd be so... I think, of course, he did that because he's like... I mean, he has a certain image that... I don't like the NBA Youngboy dude.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
But...
I feel like someone in a lesser position could have took that money.
Of course.
But him, it might bring down his status. People will be like, why the fuck did you do that?
And he's pretty big with, like, the younger generation. Yeah. A lot of, like, the younger kids, like, listen to him. And, like, he's super popping, like, with them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to be honest, at this point, I think... I don't even think the young kids would have cared.
Probably not.
They'd probably be like, man, we don't give a fuck. This dude's a rat. Like, we don't care.
I mean, people probably love Tekashi 6ix9ine. I don't know if their fan base does a lot of overlap, but you would think it does.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. More rap rumors. Don't know if any of this is true. Right? You didn't hear it from me. If it happens, you heard it from me first. If it doesn't happen, I don't know.
I don't know you. Who knows?
There is a problem at MMG. And Meek Mill wants off.
I could see that.
He has problems with his contract. Ross wants him to stick out and stay in his contract. Recently, Meek Mill had a birthday party. Ross tried to come in Meek Mill's section and was denied.
Ooh.
Denied entry. I don't know if any of that's true. But the internet net people are talking.
That's wild. I could definitely see that just because when you think about... Like the roster, because I mean, Wale, I don't think he's on maybe like music anymore.
Mm-mm.
But he, I mean, I thought Wale should have been like way more popular than he was, you know. But like, I know he had a lot of issues with like Maybach Music and what was going on. Just and then plus, I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't know about you, but to me, he always felt like he didn't belong in Maybach Music.
Yeah,
he kind of, for his style and like the type of music that everybody like in the label made, it just seemed like Wale was more so like I feel like I could have seen Wale like in Dreamville or like something like that, you know?
Yeah,
and so. Meek Mill, I mean, I could possibly see that. I mean, they might be cool. It just might be, you know, Meek just might want to do things his way now, you know?
Also, Tekashi 6ix9ine was also denied entry into Meek Mill's birthday party. How awful of a night would that be to just be 6ix9ine, just waiting an entire night to try to get into a party or waiting in a parking lot
and
for another
denied.
Confrontation to just have an entire night of nothing?
That sucks.
Yeah,
that's funny because I was like, as soon as you told me, I was like, wait, they got beef. They don't like each other. And I was like, I wonder if he knew that it was Meek's birthday party.
Yeah.
He
went there specifically for that.
You know what? He probably just went there to make a video to post.
Exactly.
That's
went
hilarious.
There for the footage. But just imagine an entire fucked up night and getting no footage and then just.
You're like, well, shit, I guess I go home now.
Damn.
That's hilarious. It's almost like. Tekashi can't really go anywhere. He's like, he's almost like he's not a regular person because of like the money he's got and then the sort of infamy he has, but he's like not super popular, like as far with the other rappers and artists. So like nobody wants to hang with him. Nobody wants to.
6ix9ine, I'll sell you some beats, bro.
That's hilarious.
You need some beats?
$1 million a beat.
I'll take less than that. All right. More rap rumors. This one isn't even a rumor. It actually happened.
Oh boy.
I don't know if you even care.
Oh boy.
I don't know if I even care. I used to listen to the Joe Budden podcast.
Oh, yep. Okay.
You know where it's going. And I used to enjoy it. Then I kind of stopped listening, not because, you know, I didn't like it or whatever. Just kind of stopped listening to it. But him and his two co-hosts are basically pretty much done. He had a very interesting audio podcast that they put up, then they took down. I don't know what's going on with it right now.
Yeah.
Where he basically fired them on the spot. And it's money issues.
Yeah.
And money issues really kind of destroy friendship. And, you know, one side says, hey, the entire conflict started because of bookkeeping and they want to look at the books.
Yeah.
And Budden is kind of treating them more so like an employee than an owner.
Yeah.
They don't really have ownership in it and he's paying them a certain rate, but they still want to see the books to see if they should get more money, blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of like, no, you know, this is your rate. And shit hit the fan. And it's like the biggest hip hop centric podcast in the world,
I think. Yeah.
And now it's you know.
Yeah, it's real interesting because I had seen that when it, like, it was, I think, yesterday or something, where it blew up. And you see the Reddit post about it?
I don't know if I did.
So basically, I don't know if that would, because I know the two dudes are Mal and Rory. Mm-hmm. I saw the name so much yesterday.
Yeah.
But supposedly, like you're saying, they just wanted to look at the books. And then Joe was like, no. And then it's kind of interesting to me because, even though I didn't really listen to the podcast all that much, just because, like, I don't really like Joe as much as, like, a talking head. Like,
I enjoy Joe.
It's like
he's very captivating.
I agree with that. He's very captivating. He says a lot of outlandish shit, and sometimes, like, he kind of rubs people the wrong way a lot. And then he just seems like he starts a lot of drama. But
that's true.
But So people were saying that. So when they were first trying to get that deal with Spotify, you know, they were working out the kinks, and like you're saying, Joe kind of sees them as more so employees, and they were, before the deal, they wanted to go to the meeting and be like, hey, we want to be in a meeting. He was like, no. And then he was like, well, can we see the books? Of course, no. And then they felt like they owned a sort of like were co-owning the podcast, and then Joe's like, no. And I was like, it's really interesting to me because, like, to me, I guess, but also, as I say this, I'm not very knowledgeable in, you know, how or what their business was like, or just them or whatever. But I always thought it was like all three of them, even though it was called the Joe Budden Podcast. Mm-hmm. That's just the name. Like, to me, it's like it wasn't just only Joe Budden. It was like him and the other two.
I guess it all boils down to a contract, because they actually didn't start it together. Joe did a bunch of episodes where it was him. There was a lady named Marissa, and actually Peter Rosenberg helped start the podcast.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but then they kind of got rid of Peter Rosenberg, got rid of Marissa, and then Mal and Rory kind of came around after that.
Yeah.
But they basically signed paperwork of what money they would be paid.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't put in as a owner, so...
I would have done. I put in a contract, put in yearly reviews. No, Joe been like, no raise.
But it's also deeper than that too, because DJ Academics. Did you see any of that?
No.
So basically, a big part of Rory's deal, Academics is always taking shots at Rory and Mal, right? And then Academics also called Rory out and says that Rory cheats on his fiance.
Okay.
And then Rory put like Academics's zip code on Twitter and was kind of like threatening Academics. And then they took him, somebody dropped him off a letter at Academics's residence, kind of as a threat, like, oh, I know where you live. They sent him like a little weird gift card, like a Hallmark card, like, oh, I know where you live, you know what I mean? I'm not scared to
pull up on you.
And then Budden kind of, you know, that's not, he didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm trying to get $100 million deals with Spotify, and you're putting this in jeopardy by trying to beef with a guy or threaten a guy.
Yeah.
And then Budden is kind of still cool with Academics. So that made it more,
that makes it more convoluted
and difficult.
It's a lot of stuff, man. It's a lot. I could definitely see that, because I could see why. But at the same time, I'm not gonna lie, in that same like frame of like Joe being like, I'm trying to get the $100 million deals, almost makes it sound like, Joe, I'm trying to get $100 million deals. You're messing up for me, versus like, you know, him still paying him the same thing. But because I was because like, what was I about to say? I had heard about all of that, and then just seeing stuff. I had heard a little bit of the audio where he was kind of going off on people. Somebody had like recorded it or whatever before they took it down.
Yeah.
And I was like, because a lot of people, the internet feels the type of way where I think a majority of people feel like that Joe is wrong, and Joe, you know, he what keeps happening, he keeps messing himself up with all the stuff, whether it be his relationships, music, or whatever. He messes up where he kind of like he actually has a great thing going, mm-hmm. and then he does self-sabotage.
Yeah, he does do that. It's also that what makes lot. Him what makes him interesting. His yeah. personality, his like rawness. I think Charlemagne has a little bit of that too. Yeah. I really like Charlemagne, and a lot of people hate Charlemagne.
Yeah,
but it's that I don't know the exact word for it, but just not giving a fuck and just
I get that. It makes sense. Yeah. Cause I think Joe Budden is a little bit higher up than Charlemagne as far as the self-sabotaging and all that.
Yeah,
at least what it seems
right.
like to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? But people were just chiming in on that. To me, I would have been like, I would have dipped because now I guess he still has to deal with Spotify, I guess.
Oh, he's done with Spotify.
Oh, he's done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that fell through. He's now like, he has a position at Patreon.
Oh,
Patreon
okay.
gave him a position. He's like chief of creative something.
Gotcha.
You know.
Okay, I could see that. But that's funny. Because like, then a part of me, I'd have been like, the other two, I would have left a long time ago, man. Just because, like, I don't like the way Joe talked to people. But at the same time, I don't know what the fuck type of person he is. But mm-hmm. I don't like that type of energy. But, it's just interesting because I think it boils down to, I will say this as a piece of advice, whenever, even if you're doing business with friends, man, work out that contract, like, because not everybody's going to have your best interest, then that's nothing like wrong with, there's nothing bad with asking them out, because I've known a few occasions where people got kind of like done bad through contracts with friends because they just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, money. You know, money can fuck shit up.
Yeah, it's people. It's money get greedy. People get greedy.
What's your viewpoint on having a friend? Let's say you have a beef with someone.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm friends with that person you have a beef with, and then me and you are friends.
Yeah.
Does it make you look at me differently?
No, I think that's between you and the other person. It has nothing to do with me. Now, I also know that. I should also be careful in like sort of like being inviting if we have something like events to go to or something like that, I should be aware like, okay, I shouldn't bring this person because then this shit's gonna cause some drama.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is like, you kind of have to, depending also how close, if you were beefing somebody, like we're real close, and then you're beefing with somebody else I'm really close with, I might try to be the mediator
mm-hmm.
before I bring y'all together. Be like, hey, like what's going on? Talk about it, and then talk with the other person, and be like, look, let's talk about it and air it out, because that way we can either come back to normalcy or something like that. Or, I mean, if it can't be fixed, it can't be fixed. Then it is what it is. But at the same time, I'm very big on nobody's going to pull me to a side. Like, you're not going to do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to still be cool with everybody, but like, I'm not going to, I'm not on nobody's side.
Right.
Just because I don't like people telling me what to do. But what about you? What do you think?
I don't know. That takes it pretty far. I mean, imagine, you know, this guy puts your marriage in jeopardy. You're going to get married to this girl. Right. Uh-huh. And both of you are kind of in the public eye. And then this guy starts putting all this stuff out there that you're cheating. That's kind of going to fuck up your world.
Yeah. But like that goes back to like, that's more so between him and the woman, his woman. Like,
yeah, I mean, you got to handle that with your woman.
Yeah.
But
because I would think like, but because if you say that, then anybody could say something, you know, then it's almost like, well, how strong is this relationship if, I mean, you got to trust each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole thing is like, somebody random could walk up to like, for example, if like I'm about to get married and then a bunch of people just start saying shit or whatever, like, who is she going to trust? Like, who is she going to believe?
I mean, it is probably different for a public figure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in the public eye, you know, me and you are a little different because, yeah. you know, we're kind of regular people. But imagine like, you know, you have a million followers on the gram, right?
Uh-huh.
And then your girl just posts a picture of her just having fun at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody in the comments is like, "Hi, you're getting cheated on. You're at the beach. That becomes a constant thing. If you go looking for that thing, you're going to constantly see that on social media.
True. I could see that. I think it'll depend on, for example, if you're famous like that, I'm pretty sure, like I said, you're going to see a lot more of that. Now, it's going to be up to the person, like whoever you're with, to decide whether or not they can even deal with that.
Yeah.
And put up with that. Because, like, to me, people going to talk and say shit because people are people. And
the internet.
Yeah, it's the internet.
The internet is a fucked up place.
Yeah. The internet, somebody, I think, a comedian had a joke that I think that, what is it? 95% of the internet is just people shitting on each other.
I thought you were going to say porn.
No. 95% is just all the people, 95% of the people on the internet are just horrible people.
Or just there to argue.
Or just there to argue because, you know, they have a lot of shit going on in their life where they're not where they're at, where they want to be. And then 5% are actually pretty good people.
Mm.
Now, you know, but I believe that wholeheartedly because I think that half of these people, to be honest, wouldn't say shit if they saw you and, like, they wouldn't say that to your face.
In person. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to touch on real quick. It's crazy because I know we talked a little bit about this before the podcast. So Elon Musk, right? Earlier we talked about how they're not accepting Bitcoin, which is very interesting. And in seeing, like, him make that statement where, like, hey, you know, Bitcoin's bad for the environment. We need to find a better way to environmentally, you know, be able to use Bitcoin to pay, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I remember as soon as he made that statement, bro, I kid you not, like, maybe within the hour or maybe 2 hours later, seeing you saw how Bitcoin, like, prices just went down.
Actually, all crypto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Not even just Bitcoin.
Yeah. And it made me realize, I was like, yo, this dude has, like, because I know we talked about this before where he's been on Joe Rogan and he talked to Joe Rogan about stuff. And, like, sometimes I'm like, man, why does he talk so slow? Like, why is he talking so slow? But then you were like, well, it's because he has so much influence on stuff. And it's crazy because I think when they first announced, like, hey, we're kind of pausing the Bitcoin thing to see how much influence that caused, like, the Bitcoin to go down and then the rest of the crypto to go down, even for the Saturday Night Live, how, you know, Doge was going up. It was going up. But then he made fun of it and he was saying, oh, Doge is just a side hustle. And it just made the price go, like, down, and people were selling.
All right. I got a lot of responses to that. So actually, did you see any of the Saturday Night Live monologue in any of the videos?
Mm-mm. No, I actually didn't see
it. So basically, maybe there's other reasons why he speaks so slowly. He said on Saturday Night Live that he was the first host in history to have Asperger's.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of came out and said that he had Asperger's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. So people like that kind of have difficulty communicating and
getting the thoughts out and stuff,
socially interacting with other people. But I do also think when you're that powerful, you do have to think very slowly. But also that may be why he's a little awkward and a little strange.
Yeah.
Also with Doge. So basically one reason why it dropped, basically they call them whales.
Okay.
And only a few people hold a giant amount of Dogecoin. So basically, if one of those people decided, hey, I'm out, okay. Yep. Boom, it's going to immediately drop the price. And one of the whales actually sold 10 minutes into SNL.
Oh,
so it could have actually maybe hit $1. Yeah. But then when that person sold, it made the price spike downward. And then when other people see that, it's a panic sell.
And then people are like, oh no.
Oh no, this is high as it's going to get. I need to get my profit. Or people that bought high is like, oh no, my money's going down. I need to get out of this.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's one of the reasons I think it dropped.
Can you imagine how much, if that person sold all their dough, how much
they did?
All of it?
And then they actually bought back in a little bit, but they made millions.
Damn, bro.
Millions.
That's wild. That made me think of, because I think going back on, like, how much influence Elon has, it makes me think of even the Bill Gates thing, how they announced the divorce. You know, they did the divorce, they announced it the way that they did, so that way it wouldn't mess up any sort of, like, stock or anything like
stock
that.
Price.
And I was just like, holy shit, can you imagine having that much power and influence that you could be like, literally, you could be like, if, let's say, if you were in an Elon Musk position or something, and then you just be like, oh, I'm about to go to Taco Bell, and then Taco Bell's prices start rising, like, up.
That's actually happened before with him. He mentioned Etsy. And Twitter, and then Etsy went up.
That's
so
wild.
It's a lot of power. He's like the modern day Tony Stark.
Yeah, it just makes me laugh because then it makes me think of, like, Like, I wonder if he does sometimes, will he be like, you know, if I mention this company, like, I could probably raise their price. Or just mentioning the most random thing, like he did Etsy. Somebody's like, you know, I really love 7-Eleven. And I,
he bought something all random off of Etsy. And then he was just tweeting a picture of it. It was like knitting. I forget exactly what it was, but he bought something.
A knitting kit or something?
No, like a product. I don't know if it was a hat for his kid or something like that. But,
It's just wild that shit like that happens. It's so funny to me. I think it makes me kind of laugh of how our society is of like when you get to a certain position of power, like, and it's rare that you get somebody like that, like an Elon Musk or, you know, Bill Gates and stuff like that. That how much power, how much influence and stuff, I guess, you know, even for example, like even like a Drake or something, mm-hmm. you know, he has some sort of powerful influence. Like if mm-hmm. he were to wear a certain, brand or he mentions somebody's company or something, like just how much it could just be like, oh, I just wanted to mention how like funny I thought that was. I was like, that's
it is
wild.
Crazy. I think it's because of the social media age.
Yeah. That
without
too.
Social media, he'd have to talk to a reporter and then it'd have to be in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow. And then would it have the same effect? I don't know. Mm,
that's interesting. So then social media is bad. No,
well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's power.
It is. It's very powerful. Yeah. But yeah, anyway,
I need me some power, man.
You need some power.
Somebody follow me.
That's JRB the producer on Instagram and all social media. I get that.
I want to be important.
What level of influence would you want? Like, let's just say Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, those types of influencers are at the top.
Oh gosh.
And then below that, like, what do you think?
What would I be comfortable with?
Yeah, what would you be comfortable with? Because can you imagine though, like even like them, for example, let's say they mentioned a company, because most of the time, all these companies are competing with each other. If he mentions one, I wonder if people are like, what the fuck, Elon? Like, I thought we were friends. Like,
oh, yeah, like Etsy's competitor is your best friend, and you just fuck them over?
Yeah, like, what the hell? Our stock price is just shot down. We're in the tank, you know?
I wouldn't want that kind of pressure. I would enjoy being a rich person, mm-hmm. but I would enjoy being a rich person on an island without... responsibility. I know that doesn't exist.
That's what Melinda Gates is doing right now. She's chilling on the island.
So I just need to marry a rich man.
Yeah. Basically, and then, you know, make sure he doesn't sign a prenup or nothing, and then just...
Or Oprah. I gotta find Oprah.
Oprah. Yeah. That. Yep.
She's a billionaire.
Yeah. Oh, is she? I didn't know that. I forgot.
Isn't she?
I don't know. I don't keep up. I'm like, I'm trying to get... I don't know if I want to get to a billion ever, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Well, ladies and gents. And
it's that time.
And it's that time for the Not All Here moment.
Where we tell stupid stories.
We tell stupid, stupid stories. We should actually get people to send in their Not All Here moments. That'd be funny, I think, to get people to be like, this is my Not All Here moment. And just sort of like we can mention them or whatever. Like, hey, this is from Sarah in Indiana. No.
Damn, Sarah. Why'd you do that?
If you do want to send in your Not All Here moment, just follow the Not All Here podcast on Instagram. Or it's just Not All Here podcast, and DM us your Not All Here moment, and then we'll share it.
You know? Yeah.
But anyway, did you want to go first?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. So, I grew up in a swampy area.
The swamp.
We have a literal swamp kinda in the backyard.
Whoa.
So as a kid, I would go outside with a flashlight, like late at night, mm-hmm. Looking for animals. Mm-hmm. So some animals, their eyes light up.
Yeah.
So you can take a flashlight and go like this and then see lights out there. And those are animals.
Wow.
So during the summer months, I'd go looking for alligators.
You brave.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd be out there just shining and you're just looking on the water, just mm-hmm. looking for eyes to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I had like a sleepover, you know, a couple guys came over to my house, my good friends, John A. and Chris. Shout out to y'all. I don't think y'all listen to the pod. You should. Maybe I'll send it to you and say I mentioned y'all.
That's hilarious.
So basically, they came over to my house, and it was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. You know, when you're a kid, you're staying up late.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, let's go outside and let's go looking for alligators. And for some reason, everyone came. So basically there's, you know, lakes and, you know, paths around the lake and, you know, all that. So we're out there there was one flashlight. Right. So we're looking for alligators. And we're walking, you know, on this path is basically on the side of the water. And then suddenly there's some movement and then there's a big splash. Whoa. Basically, it was a baby alligator.
Oh.
And it maybe was the distance from me to you.
Whoa. Okay.
And then it just splashed, went in the water. But I wasn't holding the flashlight. One of my friends was holding the flashlight and they just booked it. They took off and just literally ran back to the house.
Lord.
But I was just standing there.
Oh no.
But because it's like I didn't panic.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, what?
I mean, it's just a little baby alligator.
I want to see it. Like, and they just took off. So I was just out there in the dark and I just kind of had to, you know.
You walk. Were by yourself? Everybody else left you?
Mm-hmm. They ran back
wow.
to the house. So I just walked back to the house in the dark.
I would have put some like fake blood, like, help. Wow.
But yeah, they stranded me, man. They left me out there with the gator.
They weren't used to those gators.
They weren't ready.
That's hilarious. It's so funny that I forget, because I know you showed sometimes you'll post pictures on social media or whatever about your backyard where you'll see Dot running around and stuff. And I'm like, God, man, you're living in that swamp for real.
Yeah, man.
That's like super wild. But that's what's up. So my not on here moment is when I think about it now, I can't believe I forgot about it. But I was like, damn, that was really dumb of me. So, of course, of those... This is, let's say, I think this is like in the early 2000s, maybe 2008, or no, I'm sorry, late 2000s, 2008, 2009, something like that. This is around the time that Big Crit dropped Catalactica, if you remember that album.
Okay.
And he was on tour. And so, like, one thing, of course, what I would do is one of my best friends, T-Rose, shout out to my homie T-Rose, we would go, like, we loved Big Crit. We were like, yo, Crit is, like, crazy, man. This dude's amazing. And this was at the time that, you know, by the time he already had a name. Calacta came out. And, like, of course, I was like, I can't wait till he just blows up, like, J. Cole and, you know, your Kendrick Lamars and all these people. So he was on tour. And I think this tour, he didn't stop by Arkansas. Sometimes he would always come to these smaller towns because, you know, a lot of people loved them in the South. And so the closest place that he would visit was we went to Mississippi, his home state. And what I would do, I used to collect vinyls and I would buy vinyls of the albums and then take them to the show to get, you know, the artists to sign them so that way I could frame them, put them up. And so this time we went to Mississippi and I brought the Catalactica vinyl and I was like, I'm gonna get him to sign this, man. I'm gonna frame it. It's amazing. And I had we stopped by like a CVS and I had gotten like two gray Sharpies because just in case I lose one or one don't work for some reason, you gotta be safe. So we went to the show. Show was amazing. I was like, yo, this is wild. This is crazy. Like, man, he put on a show. So then,
side question real quick. When you take a vinyl to a show, are you literally holding it for the whole performance?
Yeah, basically.
That has to suck.
No, I mean, it's cool. Like, I don't mind it just because it's not like super humongous or something crazy.
Like,
yeah. I've seen that show sometimes. People who are artists and painters, they'll bring a whole painting.
And they have to just hold it through the whole show.
Hold it through the whole show. Wow. Because they're hoping to give it to the artist, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're at the show and like I'm like, damn, this is crazy. So then I start to what I used to do is pay attention to, like, all right, how many songs has he performed? What time is it? This is probably the closing song. And what I would always do is I'm like, most of the time he leaving through the back. That's where the artist is. They're like, we're getting on the bus or we're getting in the car or whatever and we're leaving. And so I was like, all right, y'all, I'm gonna go to the back and wait for him. So
you left the show early.
I left the show a little early just to catch them because sometimes they don't want to interact with people.
Yeah.
But at that time I was like, I just want you to sign this. That's it. I don't need no picture. I just want you to sign this. So I go in the back. Sure enough, I see a Cadillac and I'm like, that's his car. That's he always talks about Cadillacs. So it's an SUV and he's in there chilling. And then Sure enough, I remember I spoke to Crit when I went on tour with him about this, and he but he came out and he had a glass with some brown in it, and I'm like, oh, he was probably on something, like he was just like, you know, tipsy or whatever, because he came out and I looked in his eyes and I'm like, oh damn, he must have been drinking. And then I was like, Crit, and he was like, hey, what's up man, what's going on? I said, hey man, could you sign this for me? And like I met him and everything, he's like, yeah, I got you. And he signed this big whole thing, right? And he signed it and he was like, bet, with love, much love, Crit, whatever. And I was like, man, appreciate it. So I dipped. I'm like, I got what I wanted, I'm out. And then my other friends were there, they were trying to holler at him, and he had a security guard there, and you know, he was trying to say what's up to everybody, but then also leave.
Yeah.
I'm walking back to the car, and like I'm holding the vinyl and I'm trying to put it somewhere safe so that way it doesn't get messed up. I open the trunk. This whole time I was holding the vinyl to my chest. And I pull it off of my chest and it's all mushed. Smushed.
The signature.
The signature and everything. I'm like, and then I go, oh my God. And then somebody's like, hey, go run back up to him and try to see if he'll sign it one more time. And I ran back and I was like, Crit, man, I'm really sorry, but I mushed this signature. Could you sign it one more time? And he signed it one more time.
Does it look funny?
No. It looks fine.
Were you able to wipe off the first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? I was able to wipe it off.
Wow.
And but he signed it and he signed the same thing that he signed the first time. And I signed it and then I framed it and I let it dry. And I was like, oh, I can't fuck this one up.
So when you told him this story, what did he say?
He was like, the first thing he said, oh man, yeah, I was drunk. He was like, I was gone, man. I was drunk.
Oh yeah, I don't remember you at all.
No, I told him, because I had actually told him that before. I was like, Crit, when I tell you this story, you're probably not going to remember me because it was so long ago. And I think it was some years ago. And I told him and he was like, yeah, I don't remember. Yep. And I was like, I don't, you know, blame you. But it was so funny because I have like, I think, what is it? I have like maybe one or two albums of his that he signed, and then because I used to collect. I have a whole bunch of things that are signed by artists and stuff just because I was such a big fan.
You have some at the house.
Yeah, I have some at the house. That, I actually have some here. No, I know they're there. I just didn't have room. But I have some here because I have another little box that are like certain special ones to me. But I remember that because, bro, that feeling of just like you have it and you're so excited, but then you realize, oh, shit, I didn't let it dry.
Did it ruin your shirt?
No, it didn't ruin my shirt. I just washed it. It was fine the next day. But it was so funny. But good times. Good times. That was very dumb of me. So, hey, if you get something signed, man, let that thing air it out. Just let that thing dry, because if not, it's going to be messed up. But yeah, that's episode 28 of the Not All Here podcast. You know, if you can, man, wherever you listen to the podcast, whether it be Spotify, follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, rate, review us. It really helps the podcast reach new listeners. Follow the Instagram and send us your Not All Here moments.
Follow us.
Follow us on Instagram, Not All Here Podcast. Send us, you know, if you got a Not All Here moment and you'd like to share it to the world, I think that'd be funny and interesting. So we're putting a call out to anybody who has it. Just DM us or send an email to the not all here podcast at gmail.com.
Just figure out how to get it to us.
Exactly. Just here, put in a message. But follow our group page, which is Cool Ass People, Cool ASS PPL. Our personal pages, mine is It's Easy L E L L.
JRB the producer.
There you go. And
follow your dreams.
Follow the money. No.
The aliens are coming.
Get your bunker ready. They're here. They're waiting. And they're going to show themselves. But we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.